Good morning and welcome to Spotlight 92. I'm your host, Malvin Massey. And of course, every Thursday we talk to the movers and shakers of the Memphis community, the people that are making things happen for your benefit and mine. And our guest today is one that we've had here before to talk about his book that was released just last year, I believe, maybe 2 years ago. And he's got another one that it was actually an excerpt from the book that's going to be released this year that we're looking forward to. He is also the CEO of Matthews Publishing Incorporated. He formerly was a teacher with Memphis City Schools and a freelance reporter for Commercial Appeal. He is the coordinator of the Teen Appeal, which is the high school newspaper here on the campus of the University of Memphis. He is a doctoral student, and he is also the an advisor to the student chapter of the National Association of Black Journalists right here at the University of Memphis. And we're always delighted to get a chance to talk to him because he is a marvelous conversationalist, Mr. Marcus Matthews. Marcus, thanks for coming by, man.
Thanks for the invitation. I always love a chance to get by and come talk to you.
Well, it's a pleasure. It's always a pleasure. And of course, you know what? I saw the article on the university's website, Keona Gardner, who has got it all started with Teen Appeal.
Yeah.
And now she's the coordinator. Assistant coordinator, and well, she was. And school's almost over now, but this is like 15 years.
It's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah. Keona actually graduated the same year I did, 1998, from East High. Okay. And at that time, we only offered two scholarships to major in journalism. I earned one, and April Hibbler earned one. Keona didn't, but she still majored in journalism anyway because of the impact of the program. And went on to become a news reporter, and now she wears sandals about 8 months out of the year.
She's in Florida,
writing education, doing education reporting. Loves her job, great person, and she's just a testament to how our program touches people. You know, it's not just getting a scholarship at the end of the year, because she didn't get the scholarship, but she was moved to pursue a career in journalism.
She had that drive in her that was brought about by being a part of Teen Appeal, by finding out about Teen Appeal in the first place. There was an article, she's from North Memphis, and she said she had no idea. She was never around people that did this kind of thing.
Exactly. Those aren't the people in our communities. You know, I didn't know a newspaper reporter before I became a part of the Teen Appeal. And when I went to the camp and was able to meet people, specifically Otis Sanford, who was at that time the deputy managing editor of the Commercial Appeal. Now he's our chair of excellence in journalism. And basically, a black man who liked to write. Yeah. And for me, being 17 years old, to meet him, say, you know, I'm a young guy, black guy. I love sports. I love to write. I can make a living writing and doing what I love, just like this man has done and is doing. And that was tremendous for me. And and the same for Keona and the hundreds of other students who have come through our program.
Yeah, because it's been huge. It has grown over these 15 years. And this is 15-year anniversary for Teen Appeal, along with the 100th anniversary of the school. And in keeping with that idea, like I said, I was taking a class with David Acey his last semester, and the difficulties of getting this school integrated in the first place to where it has grown to now is just a testament to the efforts of everybody who's been a part of trying to put things together, and you no less than any other, with working with Teen Appeal for all these years and getting these high school students involved. And you were saying that you've had reports tracking on some of the students over the years. How's that going?
Absolutely well. Our 2009 report is the last report I looked at before getting here today. And at that time, we had 82 graduates and 73 that earned scholarships were still in journalism. You know, that's a huge percentage. And the way our program is structured, it's not, I appreciate you inviting me here so we can let more people know about it, because our aim is the students and keeping them involved in journalism and getting people in the field. So we're not the most well-known program in the city, but we probably should be. But our focus is so much on the students that sometimes, you know, we just don't promote it the way.
You don't have a marketing setup. Right. Yeah. So, but, you know, I'm talking something that I hate for people to do. I'm in here talking about Teen Appeal like everybody in the world already knows about it. How about a little background on Teen Appeal?
The Teen Appeal is a citywide high school newspaper. And we are actually the largest high school newspaper in the United States of America. And that goes under the radar. And the reason being is that we serve every high school in Memphis City Schools. So where most schools have their own school paper, many MCS schools, because of budget issues, funding issues, they don't offer journalism. So students can't take a journalism class, meaning they don't have a school paper. So the University of Memphis wrote a grant 15 years ago, a proposal that was accepted by Scripps, the publishing company who owns the commercial appeal, and said, you know, we ought to introduce students to journalism at a young age when they're in high school so they can read papers and work for papers, help diversify newsrooms, because that's an issue in newspapers still today, the lack of diversity. So being in a predominantly minority school district, introducing newspaper, and our circulation is more than 13,000 eight times a year, which is larger than a lot of small newspapers with professional journalists. So we have a very wide reach. The teachers know about us. The students know about us. The principals, of course. So everybody in MCS really respects our program. We get great support from the administrators on the board level and at the school level. But everyday people who either don't have a kid who writes for the paper or aren't walking through a Memphis City school, some of them have never heard of our program. But again, we've sent several students to college on journalism scholarships. And we've done great things. Katori Hall is the first person to come to my mind. Katori actually wrote the play, The Mountaintop.
That's the promise I'm thinking about. The Mountaintop
is very similar. It's a fictitious account of Martin Luther King's last day in Memphis. Martin Luther King is portrayed by Samuel L. Jackson.
Okay.
And there's a waitress that he interacts with, and the young lady who played Tina Turner, Angela Bassett, plays the waitress. And this is written by a girl from Memphis. She graduated from Craigmont High in 1999, went through the teen appeal, went on to Juilliard, and, you know, grossed over $100 million. Grossed $2.3 million, I want to say, in her first 2 weeks. And
the
play, The Mountaintop. And, you know, I'm just so proud of Katori. Wow. You know, but she's one among many students. You know, we just talked about Keona.
Yeah.
We got Kenneth Cummings, who's the lead photographer at the Jackson Sun right down the street. He graduated from Sheffield in 2003, you know, and just liked to take pictures. You know, now he takes pictures for a living, has a website, starting a photo company. And myself, you talk about the 100-year anniversary. The centennial graduation, what the university did, which was a great idea, was they honored 100 graduates from 1912 to 2012. And there was a rigorous selection campaign, and I was selected as one of 100 graduates out of 152,000 plus graduates through the history of the university to be honored in this ceremony. And, you know, my star with the teen appeal had everything to do with that, you know, because it brought me to this campus and afforded me the opportunities to further my education. So, you know, just the gravity of the program, people, it's almost like they don't get it. You know, sometimes you feel like this is a really big deal.
And it's floating under the radar. If you just tuned in, by the way, this is Spotlight 92. We're talking to Mr. Marcus Matthews, who is the coordinator of Teen Appeal, which is the high school newspaper here on the campus of the University of Memphis. He's also a doctoral student, and he earned his bachelor's, master's, and working on a doctorate here at the University of Memphis. Another thing that, you know, looking back at the centennial, was something that was almost impossible to do, maybe. How old am I? Oh, God. Well, anyway, 40 years ago, I'll say it was very hard to do, 50 years ago. But now, you know, these things are manifesting themselves in great ways around here at the university, and I'm so proud of that.
I appreciate it. Absolutely. It makes me feel good to see the change, even over the last 15 years that I've been here, because right out of high school, I started as a freshman here at the university, so I've been here since 1998. And just to see the increase in diversity, the campus environment, the warm culture. It's a real testament to what we do here at the university.
It has grown and grown and grown by leaps and bounds. And like you said, so Teen Appeal started in 97.
Mm-hmm.
And you were one of the first class, in the first class to be on there.
Absolutely.
And then, and the curriculum, how was the curriculum set up? Whose idea was it how to set up the curriculum to fit the newspaper? I mean, obviously, you've got to have a pattern.
Dr. Eleanor Grusin is a mentor of mine, absolutely wonderful professor of journalism. She's recently retired and professor emeritus now. She actually wrote the grant and served as program director. Tara Milligan, who now works in communication with St. Jude. She was a coordinator, the position I now hold. Mm-hmm. And basically what they did was they brought us in the summer, and we had a crash course in journalism. It was one of the most fun and intense courses that I've ever taken, a week-long course. And the cool part of it was I got to meet students from all around MCS, not just my little Covey and Fraser in North Memphis. And I remember we had two contests. I wrote the logo. The motto is Giving Truth to Memphis Youth, 1997. And Brandy Evans named the Teen Appeal because at that point we were the citywide high school newspaper, which isn't too catchy.
It's a long name.
And now Brandy is the lead choreographer for the Miami Heat dance team. Right. She was a dancer with the Memphis Grizzlies and a teacher as well. So, you know, that's just another. Just a little quick story. I remember sitting beside Brandy when we were seniors, you know, and just saying, hey, you know, where are you from? How do you like this? And, you know.
But and that goes to another thing, too. Even if you don't, even though everybody's not going to get a career in journalism to going through this program, the idea of giving you the taste of success, the idea that of the drive that's needed to succeed in anything is a good offshoot of being a part of this program.
And I think it's also the beginning of networking for high school students. Very rarely do they get the chance to network in the true sense of meeting someone who can help you in your career in years to come. Yeah. And for Teen Appeal students, you get to meet college professors. You get to meet people with similar interests. Even if it's not writing, maybe they want to be in broadcast or maybe they're in the technology. Those are people who, when they pursue those interests, you still have that relationship with them and you have a network. Kenny comes back and helps the students, even though he's a lead photographer at the Jackson Sun, he still comes back and teaches photo to our students. So they get to say, I know the lead photographer at a newspaper, you know. Yeah. And the same way with Otis Sanford, who is always around, just so many figures who are professionals who are coming back to lend a hand.
And giving these kids a great up. Now, the summer camp, it's coming up. When is summer camp starting?
It'll be July 30th through August 3rd here on campus at the University of Memphis. We had a couple hundred applicants. We invited 100 students, and we look forward to getting them in and, you know.
It's already set, though.
July 30th through August 3rd.
Okay. So, it's already full now, I guess.
Yeah, we're full.
We need more money to see so we can get bigger classes.
Absolutely. One of the sad things that happened is funding was pulled for two of our scholarships where the first year we only offered two. From 98 to last year, we were able to offer four scholarships. But due to our economic crisis, this year we were only able to offer two scholarships to students. Hopefully we can find a way next year to get back to offering four scholarships because we have so many students that want to pursue careers in journalism and every dollar counts. I'm sure our listeners know now paying for college isn't the way it was 15 years ago. Paying for college is very expensive. So everything we can do to help our students.
I was just talking to Dr. Hendricks this morning about a class that she teaches in the summertime, and usually she has 25 students at least in the class, and now she 15 students, she said. And she's only had five that were able to register because there's no money involved in the summertime. You have to pay for it yourself. And that's a big deal that tuition is getting to the point where students can't really afford to come in here.
Yeah. My degree, my doctorate will be in higher education. And, you know, that's one of the most crucial conversation that we're having now in classrooms, and it's the most crucial conversation that, you know, Dr. Raines and Governor Haslam and everybody's having is, how do we keep tuition down, you know, with budget cuts and the way that education funding for higher ed isn't getting the support that it used to get?
Yeah. It's almost like the government, though, in some form or fashion, has decided that this is not a priority when in this country, when every other country considers it a major priority.
Well, it's interesting, I think, when you're king of the hill, because you start to look at other avenues to increase your position. And oftentimes, sometimes the avenue is the avenue that got you there. We were top in education at one point. Our reading and math scores are in the teens globally. China, number one in both reading and math. We're lagging behind. And even in the state of Tennessee, our literacy is 47th out of 50 states. And, you know, we have to invest in human capital. You can give a kid a computer, but if you give a kid books, that's more important. If you pay that tuition, that's more important than having great computers around. So I think there's definitely going to have to be some restructuring as to where money goes. Even though the money's cutting down, but the money that we do have, we've got to make sure that we're investing in our students directly into their education.
Into the rights. Yeah, that's something else, too, because that's another discussion we've had over the years around here, is that kids coming out of high school are somewhat lacking in their grammar skills and their writing and even reading skills when they get to the college level, which is difficult. I suppose that's a prerequisite to be a part of the teen appeal, the journalism.
Absolutely. Each student submits a writing sample, and it's analyzed from a lot of different perspectives. Of course, we look at their desire to go into journalism, but we also have to look at their skill set because we don't have everyday access to our students. Our students come to us on a strictly extracurricular basis, so it helps if they're already strong writers so that we can help get them to the next level and produce a clean product, because English teachers, you know, they go at our paper and, you know, they use it in their classroom. So
yeah.
If we don't have strong writing, then it's not really a good example for our district and our classrooms.
Yeah. My old English teacher used to get a newspaper and go down and say, the editor missed this, the editor missed that,
exactly.
The editor missed this.
A lot of people are prone to look for mistakes. And we have to take those people into consideration. You know, we also have people who look at it as an example of how to do things the right way. So we have to be prepared for both of those ends of the spectrum.
And, you know, something else that occurred to me in having this part of the discussion about kids reading. What is it like? Do you have a way to track the circulation of the paper that, you know, do the kids read it at school? Does it get read very much?
Yeah, that's a part of the job that makes my feet hurt. we distribute again to all of the traditional high schools, a couple of the charter schools, and we give one paper for every two students. So if a school has 1,000 students, they get 500 newspapers. And part of my job is to visit those schools and to make sure that they aren't sitting in the bundle all tied up, but they're actually out and the students have access to them. So we do a pretty good job at that. And the students, they know our program. They read the paper because when I come to recruit, they're already ready and they want to be a part of our program.
Yeah, that's something else, too. I mean, when we were talking about kids, especially inner city kids learning or getting the idea that all the other life they see out there is not part, they can't be part of that, you know. And so they get this idea to be the big man in the neighborhood, they be important in the neighborhood, and they don't even realize a world view of things. This is something that can bring them out of that.
Exactly.
It's something that they can see that there is a possibility that, hey, I can do this. I can be a part of something that's like this.
I think when our interests aren't mainstream interest, we often think we're the only ones who like that to do it. You know, if I'm not on the football team, then my interests aren't important as other interests. You know, I was a writer and I thought I was the only writer in the world as a young person. Yeah. So being exposed to other writers helped me to appreciate, you know what, there's an entire world of writers out here, people who love what I love. So our program does that for young people. You know, when I visit schools, I see these students and they seem so shy and introverted, and you see their writing and it's absolutely amazing. The talent that they have, oftentimes without a lot of training, and the way they can touch you and tell stories. And that's what we do. We're storytellers. So,
yeah. Once again, if you just tuned in, this is Spotlight 92. We're talking to Mr. Marcus Matthews, who is CEO of Matthews Publishing, by the way. He is also coordinator of the Teen Appeal here on the campus of the University of Memphis, a doctoral student and an author. And the book that we were talking about the last time that Marcus was here was his book called I Am Not the Father. And we had a good conversation on that. And the book is still out there and it's doing well. And like I said, it was an excerpt from one his autobiography that's coming out soon. It is soon. It's supposed to be 2012. That was what I understood.
Well, what's happened, and this is a great change in direction. I'm actually talking to a couple of I'm actually talking about distribution for my documentary, which was based off of my book, I'm Not the Father. I'm Not the Father has blossomed in a way I could have never seen possible.
That's what I was going to ask. How is it doing? Because I enjoyed the heck out of reading it myself.
You know, one of the amazing things was that people, I started doing TV appearances, you know, morning shows and late news, and people would come up to me on the street and say, you know, I just found out my 16-year-old daughter isn't my daughter. I've been paying child support for this child for 8 years. I found out that she's not my daughter, and now she's 12, and I still been paying. And people, you know, in your next book, I want to be in your next book. I want to tell my story. And I decided rather than write another book that I would try a more dimensional approach with a film. Okay. So I went ahead and filmed a documentary, talked to some experts from the legal world, people who do TV or broadcasts with these kind of shows, and more guys with more experiences. And right now there's one specific TV network who's offering a deal to capture the documentary and do a TV series. So I've been really working with getting this distribution deal done and also still being a doctoral candidate and also being coordinator of the Teen Appeal. So I've been very busy with that, meaning basically what that translates to is my next book will be
a little later.
I did, though, release a children's book in September of last year. That book is entitled Runners, and it's a multilingual book. It's in Spanish and English. And it encourages young people to run at their dreams. And it's for children 8 years old and up.
Oh, that's pretty cool. As a matter of fact, speaking of runners, you were an athlete. Your early career, you in high school, you were an athlete. You played basketball, ran track.
And cross country.
And you cross country, too. And then how did you – I mean, you got into to sports reporting.
Correct. Everything. Correct. Great transition.
Yeah, with commercial appeal and something else I read too. You worked with ESPN?
I worked with the Grizzlies. Their first year here in 2001, I was in their media relations department, which was an excellent experience for me. A little PR, even though I was a newspaper guy. So I got to broaden my scope there. And I also worked with Associated Press. The following year as an editorial assistant working with the bureau writer here in Memphis, Woody Baird. And that was a great experience for me. And the thing about sports that really impacted where I am now is that work ethic. You know, I'm only 5'9". I don't jump real high, never have. So I always had to work harder than everybody else. Just to make the team. Playing basketball. You know, these guys are 6'4", 6'7", arms 7 feet wide. So, you know, I figured out that I'm going to have to outsmart some people. I'm going to have to look at what they like to do and make them do something different, you know. And that was a mentality that I took into life is that, you know, I can figure out my way to be successful at whatever it is I want to do. My gift is in between my ears. You know, and I'm really proud of that. I'm really proud of that. I think it's something that so many of our children are gifted, you know, in a mental capacity, but they never get that avenue to tell their story and express their talent. So that's part of what Matthews Publishing is about. Our motto is helping you tell your story. So, you know, that's what I want to do is help people tell their story. With I'm Not the Father, I was simply telling my story. And it's a story that I share with many other, you know, Americans, and it's caught fire. And I've got more stories to tell, you know, which will be books to come. But there are also so many Memphians out here who have amazing stories to tell. And they come to me and they tell me about this experience that may not be a paternity experience. It may be an experience with being mistreated as a child. It may be an experience, just so many different things that Memphians has gone through, and they don't have an avenue to tell their story. So hopefully with Matthews Publishing, we can help that happen.
Creating storytellers, that's really cool. And the idea of doing a documentary on something that's as broad a scope. Of all the difficulties, I'm working with Steve and those guys, of all the difficulties of putting together a documentary, obviously story content was not one of your problems.
Not
one.
At all. You know, I got a couple of film students, one graduate from here, our film department, and one current student, a couple friends who work in IT, and we just talked to the guys and got their stories. And there's one instance where my anchor is from CBS Atlanta. He worked here at NBC, Tony McNary, and he had a friend visiting. So he's just sitting in on one of our interviews, and we look over by the end of the interview, and he's crying. You know, because the story was so real and touching. And, you know, going back to those same numbers, when 17% of the men in the United States of America being falsely accused, you know, it doesn't just affect that guy. You got little babies who don't have fathers, and it just ripples out so much. And so definitely story content was not an issue. We've got great stories.
And now what's the title of the documentary?
I Am Not the Father.
Okay. Good enough.
Yeah, and again, as of now, I'm working with getting it distributed, and things are looking really good. I want to come back once we sign a contract with this network, hopefully, that's really been on the forefront of the deal, saying we really want this documentary, and we also want a TV series on our network. So hopefully I'll have real good news soon.
And hopefully we'll see it on PBS, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because PBS, I think that's the station that people go to learn something.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, once again, Marcus Matthews, our guest this morning with Spotlight 92. And the book is I Am Not the Father. And the documentary will be coming out soon. Now, as far as kids getting involved with teen appeal, like we say, okay, the camp is full now, but school will start back.
Right.
Which is the never-ending cycle.
Right.
So what should somebody take out of listening to us talking right now as far as a parent who says, oh, my child writes pretty good, maybe they ought to be involved in that. What do they need to do to get involved with the team?
They should write a story. They should write a story and send it to us. And it's happened on several occasions where students who either didn't apply or were not accepted were at their school and they said, hey, our school has X, Y, and Z going on. Here are the details. And they send it to theteenappeal@gmail.com. And we say, this is somebody who needs to be on our staff because they've been proactive. And that's one thing that I've just come to appreciate in life, that it's those proactive individuals who say, here's something. Here's what I can do.
Yeah.
What do you think? So that's what we encourage the entire student body to do. I love it when our email is full with pictures from school events. You know, we have some students who do that, who don't necessarily write, but hey, there's a jamboree going on or there's a ceremony and we want to take a couple pictures and send it to theteenappeal@gmail.com.
The Teen Appeal. The Teen Appeal.
theteenappeal@gmail.com.
Right. And is there a phone number that they can call to get in touch?
Yeah. Our office on campus is 901-678-4710.
Right on. Marcus, I appreciate you coming by, man. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Man, that time flew.
I know. You're a fountain of information and such pleasant-minded person as well.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Likewise.
Thank you. All right. And this has been Spotlight 92. We'll do it again next week. In the meantime, you're back for more of the best in jazz. This is U92 FM.